Turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. And we continue on here. Our brother being called to the Lord, Son of Man, so many times, 80, 90 times, he's referred to in this way by our Lord all through these chapters. And we've come a long way through this book, and we've got the end of the book in sight. And so I hope it's been a help, a blessing to you. I hope it just hadn't been a solid boredom. But a lot of things here. The Lord's given the book of Ezekiel to us in his word, and so there's a reason for that. There's something certainly that we can glean from it. And a lot of times in this, our Lord has said through our brother that they, specifically speaking of Israel, that they may know that I am the Lord. Prophecy. Prophecy being fulfilled right on time. Our brother's been getting the prophecy, and boom, it's been happening. It's come to that time in regards to Israel and our Lord dealing with them here in the captivity. Jerusalem going to be falling finally, if you will, or has, or is in the midst of that siege going on by Nebuchadnezzar. And our brother has got that, the beginning of that real time. His attention in the last four chapters has been upon Egypt, and it's really something about how the Lord mentions Egypt, says he's going to deal with Egypt. And then last time we read there in Isaiah 19 about where the Lord referred to Egypt, my people. And so that was very interesting, how the Lord said that he would, there would be some things he would do to Egypt, but then there would be a raising of Egypt, again, to the honor and glory of our Lord. Our Lord in this book now, in chapter 33, is turning the attention, I believe, to individuals. He's dealing with Ezekiel, okay? But he is also dealing with us as we have the word of the Lord come to us. The ministers of the Lord, the preachers and the pastors of the Lord are called to this. This passage is speaking to them. And I think, indeed, this passage is also speaking to us individually as children of the Lord, especially we who are in the Lord's church. Having been given the Great Commission to fulfill, it lays with us to continue to promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a holder of the Word of God, and then the church is built up not of a building, but of individual saints saved and added by the Lord to His church. We are the pillar and ground of the truth here in Logan County, Kentucky. Here in our part of the world, right here, we're the pillar and ground of the truth. We've been given the Great Commission. It's from this church that other churches have been formed. And we teach to observe the things commanded by our Lord. Not just a witness of the gospel, which is first and is at the forefront and the spearhead of the ministry that we have, but also to educate, to baptize the believers and to educate the believers about spiritual things in the Lord and His operation in His church and about God and about the future and about the promises of God and so on, and to take and pass that on to others. And that churches might be established, another generation might be established to stand in and for our Lord until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. We are called to be watchmen in one way or another. See, we know the truth. And we've seen it here in the book of Ezekiel that our Lord has told Ezekiel, I want you to warn them of me. And you know what? A lost and dying world needs to be warned from the Lord. Brother John the Baptist did so. Flee the wrath to come, he preached. There's wrath coming. He gives that picture about the Lord. He's got his fan in his hand. He's separating the wheat from the chaff. He's going to gather the wheat into the garner, and he's going to burn the chaff with fire unquenchable. Flee the wrath to come is the message that we have. And so now, this comes not dealing with Egypt and not dealing with Israel, and we see types and things in there that can help us and that we can apply to us. But it's coming down right now, right down here to you and me, right here in our laps, okay, I believe, as watchmen of the Lord. Listen to what our Lord says to our brother. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 1, again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, there it is again, son of man, no one else referred to as son of man more than brother Ezekiel and other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Why is that the case? Speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. That of the doctrine or the principle of the watchman, as it is in a land, as it was more so in these olden days, in a land where there would be hostilities, there would be an enemy that could be very near. It was the watchman that was set, ordained, chosen by the people of a city or of a region. They would appoint watchmen that would be on the lookout. That would be on the lookout. Just as they would have watchmen on ships that would be on the lookout for any kind of fire at night or any kind of pirate that would approach or any enemy that would approach. So it would be in the cities. There would be the watchman that would walk on the perimeter of the city or walk on the wall of the city to be on the lookout for any threat within and without. And the Lord says, when they do so, and he sees the sword come, he sees danger coming, whether it be an enemy or whether it be something that would happen, the sword is mentioned here, and he blows the trumpet to warn the people. If the people don't listen, if the people are consumed by that which comes on, then their blood is on their own head. They were warned. And that's the issue, folks. We are set to be those that warn this world of the Lord. Oh yes, without Christ and one sin and the condemnation of sin upon them, they will be destroyed. They will be destroyed. But you know what? That's not the end of the message. That's not the end of the news. There's good news in Christ that sinners that see themselves as sinners as they are, and they see Christ, the Son of God, having come into the world to be the Savior for sinners, if they'll repent of those sins before God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? They can be rescued. They can be saved by our Lord. He goes on to say here, if the sword come in the latter part of verse number 4 and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. There's a provision there in the warning. The one that believes it, the one that doesn't say, they won't ever get this far, they won't ever get this, this won't ever happen to me, or they won't touch me. They didn't take the warning, but those that do so deliver their souls. Verse 6, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. This is a truth that is at hand also, is that men, women, boys, and girls have their sin before the Lord. And it is there. And their sin will be dealt with in one way or the other. But if the watchman doesn't cry, the Lord says, oh, they will die in their iniquity, because that is going to be dealt with. But you know what? Their blood will be required at the hand of the watchman. And we've got a warning to warn sinners about. We've got a warning to warn sinners about. We have a Savior to tell sinners about. And every whit of our conversation and what we think and what we say and what we do, we need to be a witness that judgment is coming. None shall escape. And you know what? We can't make them heed the warning, but you and I can guarantee whether they've been told or not. And that's our calling. That's what we are to do. How will it be? How will it be with churches? And I believe I know of churches that have not herald forth the warning that the Lord has given to be given in their communities. That they've not held forth a witness of the necessity of sinners repenting and receiving Christ and believing on Him. For churches, how will that be? at the judgment before the Lord, when they stand before the Savior. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us at Austin Baptist Church, that we would be a church that no matter what the world thinks about it, that we would hold forth the warning that sinners need Christ, that sinners need to repent before God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a terrible thing. How about church members? Church members having been saved and called by the Lord and being so close and so near to the ministry of the Lord, being at the heart of the ministry of the Lord in this time, in this church age. We're right here in the middle of it. But yet we don't take up our part to warn sinners around us of the one that's coming, to warn them of the Lord, that the Lord is holy and righteous and pure, and that he will judge sin. And the only way one can stand is to have Christ as a Savior, to take the condemnation, to take that sin away from them, to wash them white as snow. If we don't tell, who will tell? And if we don't tell, we're in disobedience to our Lord. His blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Verse number 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. My word, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth. You know what, brothers and sisters, we've got it right out of the mouth of the Lord right here. Yeah, the Greek word is logos, the breathed, the word of God. God has spoken. He's breathed his word. It's been collected for us by our Lord. It's been put together. It's been translated to where we can have it. We can have it prolifically and we understand it. And I'm so thankful, like what we do at the jail. The Lord's blessed us to be able to do that. And we do that at the jail. We give out those Bibles. And nothing better than to see those folks come in there that's got a Bible that's starting to get worn around the edges. Something's going on with it. I don't think they're just rubbing it around on the table. I think they're opening up and looking at it. It's sad to see a new Bible that stays new. But we give out those Bibles and we encourage them, read the Word, feed on the Word, listen to the Word, hear the Word of the Lord. We've got the Word of God Almighty. We've got His Word. Not what we think. Again, that's something that I've mentioned here a lot lately, and I think it's so. We don't need to give folks our opinion. Forget about opinion. Forget about a sneaky way to get them the truth and get folks the God. Just tell them what Jesus said. Just tell them what the Lord says. Give them chapter and verse. Give them what God has said. You know what? He's promised he'll take his word, not our word, but his word, and use it. All to the flesh, to the world, to the natural man. It just doesn't make sense. But the Lord said it works just like rain and seed in the ground that somehow grows. That's the way the Lord's word is. And he takes it and he uses it in that way. Thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman in the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. You know, a pastor is that way. He needs to be that way. He needs to be praying and seeking the Lord's face. You know, I need to be seeking the Lord's face about what I need to bring to you. Not just to fill up time. Not just to fill up time, but the good word of the Lord, the full counsel of God, that we might see the word of God and hear the word of God, and the Lord would take it and apply it to us right here where we're at today. To hear from God. And then to deliver it and to give it out. To be talking to the Lord about His Word and our brethren that we have here and even the ladies that work in our Sunday school classes and work in our VBS and our brethren that teach Sunday school in the morning. To seek the Lord's face. What do we bring? Lord, what do we need to know about? What do you want us to speak about and look into your word about and give it to folks? We need to be talking to the Lord. Lord, how do you want me to warn them? And warn them from me, he says. Verse number 8, when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. How is it that the wicked man will hear that? Again, we've took a look at recently about what the Lord Jesus promised, pardon me, that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, would do in his church. He would reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. How does he do that? He does that through us. Through us. Through the voice of the church, through the voice of the membership and the minister of that. When I say unto the wicked, there in the ear, if you can hear, as he says in verse number 7, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and then tell it, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. How many do I have? How many do you have that has been in our lives, has crossed our lives, the path of their life has crossed ours, and we didn't say anything to them about the Lord. We didn't say anything to them about their need, their sin, and that. And they went on into eternity, and I never said a word to them. What a terrible, sad, sad thing. What a sad thing. How many do I have that the Lord will require their blood at my hand? Oh, it's their iniquity. It's their iniquity if they were not saved that took them on into hell, even now. But I, having the truth, didn't tell them. I didn't tell them. And we need to tell them. We need to warn them of the Lord. Verse number 9, nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You've done what's right. You've done what I've bid you to do. You've told the word, and the affair has been left between them and me. And you've done what I've called you to do. You've been obedient. That's how we can be successful in the Lord's ministry and work, is to be obedient to Him. Therefore, verse number 10, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? They ask this question. Let's read it again. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. The Lord says, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Sinner, why will you die? Why will you die? With the Lord so gracious and merciful, He's told you the thing that you didn't even know yourself. And then He's provided freely in the time that we live here, some 2,000 years ago, sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to be a Savior for sinners like you and me. Why will you die when there's salvation that's full and free in Christ? Why will you die? They say, if our transgressions and our sins are on us, And we just wilt away, we pine away in them. How can we be saved? By the Lord. You can't save yourself. It's the Lord's salvation that you need. The Lord's deliverance that we who are saved have. It's the Lord. Why? The Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but His justice, His judgment requires that sin be dealt with, either by Christ and what He's fulfilled on Calvary, and that substitutionary death, that propitiation, that suffering body. Christ died for me. He paid the price for me. If you're here and say He paid the price for you, He did that in our stead. And it's free. Free! Why will you die? Why will you die? Therefore, verse 12, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. Now, some would take this and torture the scripture and think that the Lord is talking about a works kind of salvation. And that's not so. It's not so. What I see and what I understand here is that the Lord There's only salvation in the Lord, and of course we have this fully revealed to us in our day with the Old Testament scriptures fulfilled, the New Testament scriptures and that. What the Lord's saying, and this is true even for the children of God, you know what? You and I need to serve the Lord today. And we can't take maybe a decade or two or three of faithful service to the Lord and understand we're not sinless. We will have failure all the way through life. We'll have sin against our Lord, yielding to temptation, all those things in there that we should have been asking the Lord to forgive us of and cleanse us from and that on the way. But you know what? We can't take 30 years of faithful service, 20 years of faithful service, 10 years of faithful service, and then bring that up here for the future. Today is today, and you and I have got to be faithful to our Lord today. You know, some people live that way. They say, well, this and so, and that and so, and it did that and so. So now I'm just going to kind of retire from the Lord. You don't retire from the Lord. You walk the rest of your life with the Lord. And so the Lord is saying here that you can't take the past and bring it to the future. And there is a witness and a testimony that we have. But you know, any obedience and faithfulness that I had yesterday, I can't bring forth and it qualify me as being such today. Every day, every moment, we stand before our Lord in that. You know what? The Lord's merciful, and we turn from our wickedness. And the sinner that repents of their sins and receives Christ, the Lord saves their soul. You know what? Christ takes care of all that past wickedness. Takes care of it all. You know what? And all the wickedness, all the sin that goes on before, this is the way I understand it and see it, all that does not ever stand against the sinner in regards to eternity. Christ has paid. Christ has paid. Now the child of God living forward, we've got a daddy that loves us. And you know what daddies that love their children do when the children get out of line? They whip their children. They talk rough to their children. They get their children's attention, right? Flick them on the ear, flick them on the head, pat them on the rear end, put them in the corner, right? You understand about all that. Our sins don't stand against us in regards to eternity because Christ has paid for them. But you know what? You and I are accountable. We're accountable if we're disobedient children. I can't take my past obedience and bring it up here. So, Lord, I obeyed you yesterday. Okay, well, that was good for yesterday. What about today? What about today? And so, therefore, Son of Man, verse 12, say thou to the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of transgression. And for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Repentance and submission to the Lord is always received, is always a wonderful and a good thing for men, women, boys, and girls. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous, verse 13, that he shall surely live, if he trust in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, a warning that goes forth from the watchman, from the Lord. If he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that which he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. If he's repentant, he will live. Do you remember Zacchaeus, as the children sing, was a wee little man? And he climbed up in that sycamore tree. What was it, Brother Zacchaeus, when the Lord said, Zacchaeus, come down here. I'm going to your house. And you know what? That man got down out of that tree. I mean, he is a leader, a chief amongst the tax collectors there in that town. Was that Jericho? I think it was Jericho. He's a chief amongst them. He's like at the second level of tax collectors there locally. And you know what? That man came down. He wanted to see the Lord. He came down. And he takes the Lord home, and he prepares for the Lord to have a big old feed and a supper and that. And the Lord talks and mentions about salvation coming to his household because he also is a son of Abraham, even though his own people hated him because he was a tax collector. And you know what Nicodemus, Zacchaeus said? He said, I give so much of my goods to the poor, and then if I've been fraudulent to any man, I'll restore him, what, fourfold or sevenfold? He was repentant. He said, if I'm guilty, I want to make it good. I won't just give you back what I robbed you. I'll give you back a multiple of that. And I think then the Lord had said that he was repentant effectively, and the Lord had saved his soul. He shall not die. And you know, that's the whole thing with our sin. With your sin, listen, sinner, with your sin you will surely die. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shall not die. Oh, praise be to God. What a wonderful message indeed. You know, why would we cower back? Why would I be embarrassed? You know, that's the old man that just hates all of this. The old man's not saved. Your old body's not saved. Your old mind's not saved. So go ahead, turn beet red and tell them. Break out in a sweat. Who cares? Tell them. Because that is the Word and the Savior of salvation. What's it go on to say? Verse number 16. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely, surely live. Verse 17. Here's man balling up against the truth of the Lord. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. That's not fair. That's not right. It's called mercy. It's called grace. You know, we say it, I've heard it said, you know, how you doing, brother? Well, better than I deserved. Well, yeah, that's a case for everybody. We're all doing better than we deserve. We deserve to have been obliterated in Adam. Yeah, that's grace. That's the grace of the Lord, the good favor of the Lord, the long-suffering of the Lord. He lets sinners go on. Peradventure, one day they would hear, rather than just and zapping them right away. Praise be to God. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. You know, that's what the Lord says is going to happen at the great white throne judgment. I don't want to be judged after my ways. I want to be judged after what Christ has done for me. having the Father, if you will, as we understand, the Father looking on at the saved sinner and seeing his Son. There's no better place to be than in that. A watchman we are into this lost and dying world. We come to a time here, and this is something that's a portion of Scripture here that's maybe somewhat difficult to understand, or we want to try to put it in its right place, and may the Lord help us to understand it. We're going to touch on it here just for a little bit, and then we'll close. Brother Ezekiel's been called, and at the beginning, he's been called to a ministry that I believe that he didn't want anything to do with. A very difficult thing, being there in the captivity, over by the river Chebar, over there in Babylonia. He would have never chosen to do this. He's at the prime of his life, 30 years old. We've seen even during the course of his ministry, over the course of these handful of years since our Lord called him, that his wife has even died. And in that, he wasn't allowed of the Lord to even mourn for his wife. He just was required of the Lord to have, for it not to affect him. And the reason for that is because of the callousness of the people. He was a witness and a testimony of the people of their lack of care, their lack of compassion, their lack of sensitivity and softness to the Lord. We talked about that last night at our cottage prayer meeting, you know, about us. You know, we need to be sensitive to the true needs and the real needs of those round about us in this lost and dying world. You know, namely that sinners without Christ are on their way to hell. And we talk about hell, we mention hell from time to time, but hell's a terrible place. Terrible. There's wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell right now, where there's an eternal burning, yet there's complete and total darkness. It is a terrible place. And we need to understand that sinners without Christ, they leave out of this life without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That's where they're going, and they will stay there till they're brought up to the white throne judgment, and they'll be cast in the lake of fire. There is no purgatory. There is no being prayed out of hell in the lake of fire. Once you leave this life without Christ, it's done. It's done. And so our brother is called into this ministry. He's called to this early on. And I think that we see him being, being used and persuaded and softened by the Lord in this. And he, as I mentioned, he was stoic unto the people, because even with the death of his wife, because of their way and their lack of sensitivity to the truth. And we saw something early on about what the Lord said about how he would be. So let's read here in verse 21, then we'll just touch on that. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month and the 5th day. Now, we're actually going backward a little bit from the last time marker that we have, which is found over here in chapter number 32. That we find to be at the 12th month, the 12th year, the 12th month, and the first day, and even the 15th day in chapter 32. Here we're told the 12th year, 10th month. And so somewhere in through between chapter 31 and chapter 32 is when this took place. Okay? And he says here that one had escaped out of Jerusalem and came unto me saying, the city is smitten. There's one that actually came from Jerusalem over to Babylonia, over to where the Ezekiel is, and told him, brought him word, Jerusalem has been smitten. Jerusalem has been destroyed. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening, afore he that was escaped came. Okay, so the Lord was heavy upon him before that one came, and had opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was opened, and I was no more dumb. We go back over here to chapter 3 of this book, and we see here the first hardship, as I indicated here in my studies of this. And let's read here in chapter 3 what the Lord told Ezekiel early on in his calling. In chapter 3 of Ezekiel, in verse number 22, and the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. And I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered into me, and set me upon my feet, and spake with me, and said unto me, go shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee, they shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, and thou shalt be dumb, and shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. So early on here, we see an occasion where our brother was made to where he couldn't speak by the Lord. And we talked about his behavior, how it was with his behavior and what the Lord had called him to do. Did they maybe think he was crazy and take him and bind him in the way that the Lord said that they would do? He wasn't able even to speak, it seems like, because of this, the greatness of the witness that the Lord is using this man to be unto his nation, that his nation that is captive. And so we thought, as we went on here, that maybe, and from the some of the things that are said and spoken here in the book between this chapter 3 and now we've come all the way to the chapters in the 30s, that he has spoken things and has said things. But we read here in chapter 33 that one has come from the captivity so many years later from the beginning of this, 7 years and some 8 months later, and it says here, and his mouth was opened, and he was no more dumb. We come here to chapter 24, and there's something interesting relative to this that we want to read here. We pick it up around verse number 24. This is the Lord speaking to, to the rebellious house and speaking to them about their disease and their rusting, their oxidation, if you will, just the terribleness of the condition that they've come to. A parable that Ezekiel's been given to tell the people. And it says here in chapter 24, in verse number 24, thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign. And so the Lord's prophet is a sign unto the Israel captive. According to all that he hath done shall ye do. When this cometh, ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Many examples that were given by that Ezekiel physically did that the Lord said that the children of Israel would do. Also, thou son of man, shall it not be in the day when I take them from their strength and the joy of their glory, the desire of their eyes, and that whereupon they set their minds, their sons and their daughters, that he that escapeth in that day shall come to thee to cause thee to hear it with thine ears? In the day shall thy mouth be opened to him which is escaped, and thou shalt speak, and be no more dumb, and thou shalt be a sign unto them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. From this we seem to have an indication that all this for these 30-some chapters that our brother hasn't even been able to speak. And how is it that these things have been said? How is it that what the Lord said, Son of Man, say this to the people, if in fact he has been found mute and couldn't speak himself? And I wonder about that. I consider about that. I want to know the truth about that. Understand, folks, we've got a book. We've got a book. And the things that the Lord gave our brother, it could be through these 30 chapters, that as the Lord gave them and to them in this account, whether it's our brother that was writing or another that was near that was writing about his account, that these things were written and read unto the children of Israel there in captivity. Remember, our brother is a sign. How would it ever make sense to have a prophet that couldn't speak? Well, you know what? It's indicative. It's telling about the situation of how bad a shape the nation's in. They've got a prophet at hand, surely a prophet of the Lord, but their condition is so bad, and in a sense, the Lord turning his back so much on the nation that he is near but cannot deliver them a direct word from the Lord. Remember, with these other nations, there was no future for them. And with Israel, it's almost seemed that they've come to a point that there's no future with them, but there is. But there is. And the Lord's man, being dumb until this time, 7 years later, is now able to speak when the things that he prophesied, wrote, and was conveyed to the elders, conveyed to the people, when it came to pass. Jerusalem has fallen. Jerusalem is no more. Jerusalem belongs to Nebuchadnezzar in every way. And now his tongue is loosed. Well, look, Lord willing, to pick this up here next time and see what our Lord, how our Lord speaks and how he uses our brother in this ministry to his nation in captivity. You know, may the Lord help us. You know, the bottom line in this is, may we be obedient to our Lord when he speaks his word the first time. That it be that our Lord wouldn't have to chastise us to bring us to a point of believing his word the next time or the next time. God says what he means and means what he says. And what God has said is always to his honor and his glory and for our good. And may we believe him. May we just believe him and not require of our Lord to scream and holler and carry on. You understand how I mean that? That he wouldn't have to go to extreme measures to get us to hear. But we would know that he is God. Beside him there's none other. And when the one of all there is, all that exists, I was going to say the universe, but of all that exists, when the one, the creator, God Almighty speaks, you and I need to listen and hear him and obey him. And if you're hearing you're not saved, you know what? You need to hear him and listen to him too. Don't put off the word of the Lord. Don't push that aside. Don't make a claim of something that has no help, no hope in it. But hear the word of the Lord. Why will you die? Why will you die not hearing and believing the Lord?